ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। राष्ट्रश्च यो श्रद्धयो भ्रमणाय विशम्भते भुज्यमाना मया दृष्टा असद्भिरादृतव्रताय पुराश्रिष्टायो शद्धयो भ्रमणाय विशम्भते भुज्यमाना मया दृष्टा असद्भिरादृतव्रताय पुरा इन द पास्ट सृष्टा क्रिएटेड हि सर्टेनलि ओ श्रद्धयः Herbs and food grains. Brahmana by Lord Brahma. Yaha all those which. Vishampate O King. Bhujamana being enjoyed. Maya by me. Drishta seen asadbihi the non-devotees adrita vratai devoid of all spiritual activities. Translation: my dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma created this material world for the use of the living entities, but it was created according to the plan that all living entities who might come in to dominate it for sense gratification would be given directions by Lord Brahma in the Vedas in order that they might ultimately leave it and return home back to Godhead. All necessities grown on earth, namely fruits, flowers, trees, grains, animals, and animal byproducts, were created for use in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. However, the planet Earth, in the shape of a cow, herein submits all those utilities are being used by non-devotees who have no plans for spiritual understanding. Although there are immense potencies within the earth for the production of grains, fruits, and flowers, the production is checked by the earth itself or herself when it is misused by non-devotees who have no spiritual goals. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything can be used for His satisfaction. Things should not be used for a sense gratification of the living entities. This is the whole plan of material nature according to the directions of material nature. Paragraph. In this verse, the words asadbhihi, last line in Sanskrit, and adhrita vratai are important. Asadbihi refers to the non-devotees. The non-devotees have been described in Bhagavad Gita as duskritina, miscreants, mudha, asses, or rascals, Naradama, lowest of mankind, and Mayaya Paritagyana, those who have lost their knowledge due to the power of the illusory energy. No, none of those are complimentary. All these persons are asat, non-devotees. Non-devotees are also called griha vrata, whereas the devotees are called dridha vrata. The whole Vedic plan is that the misguided conditioned souls who have come to lord it over material nature should be trained to become dridha vrata. This means that they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Activities intended to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, are called Krishnarte Akhila Chetasa or Cheshta. I looked that word up in Vedabase, and there's no verse that seems to be connected to it. Prabhupada refers to it a few times, and it's from somewhere, but it's not indicated where it's from. But what it means is, this indicates that one can attempt all kinds of work, but one should do so to satisfy Krishna. So Krishna arte akila cheshta. This is described in Bhagavad Gita as yagnartat karma. The word yagya indicates Lord Vishnu. We should work only for his satisfaction. In modern times, Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten Vishnu altogether, and they conduct their activities for sense gratification. Such people will gradually become poverty-stricken, for they cannot use things which are to be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord for their own sense gratification. If they continue like this, again he says, they will ultimately be in a state of poverty, and no grains, fruits, and flowers will be produced. Indeed, it is stated in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam that at the end of Kali Yuga, people will be so polluted that there will no longer be any grains, wheat, sugar cane, or milk. End of purport. Parashrista yo shadhayo brahmana ya vishampate bujimana maya drishta asadbir adritak mritai. My dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs, and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. So these are words spoken by Mother Earth in the form of a cow who's responding to Prithu Maharaja's forceful words to Mother Earth. Why are you restricting? Produce. There's praja, there are my citizens on this planet, and you're the planet, and you're, please supply. I'm ordering you. So she's explaining why that supply has been restricted. And the essence in the purport is that supply is being restricted because the purpose for which the creation was made is being neglected. The non-devotees, asadbir, have a wrong idea of why this earth is existing. Who created it doesn't really matter to them. It's for sense gratification. It's party time. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow, who knows? So enjoy. Enjoy life while you have it. Without any aim or end or sense of giving thanks and gratitude and service, just grab it and enjoy it. So because of that disposition, Mother Earth is explaining, she's restricted. So the words are those who are non-devotees, the asadvir folks, they're taking these productions, parashrishta, things previously created by Brahmana, Lord Brahma, things such as oshadhayo, the grains, seeds, wheat, roots, herbs, natural production of earth, without any regard for the purpose of their being here, to make offerings to the Supreme Lord and taking of the prasad of the Supreme Lord, without any sense of that, they're just exploiting for their own personal ends. And so Mother Earth has been restricting. The implication is, under your rule, King Prithu, people will engage in devotional service. They'll engage in offering these things to the Supreme. And when that takes place, the plentiful supply will be there. So you don't need to get on my case, you need to get on their case. Have them engage in offering all these things that Brahma created to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, train your citizens to worship the Personality of Godhead. You'll get plenty. Don't get on my case. And when things are supplied, the construction of the Bhagavatam is very beautiful. It's Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verses that are presented in the earlier portion of the first canto, they're essence verses which are later explained or illustrated and decorated very nicely by histories, Purana. So here's a history, and it's illustrating, as Prabhupada is expressing in the purport, a very important principle. From the first canto, dharmasya hi apavargasya nartotayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamodabhaya hi smritaha, which is another way of saying what is being discussed here, that the purpose of well, same as in Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of creation is established along with creation, from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna sent forth generations of men and demigods, he also supplied a user's manual, a plan, how they could utilize the facilities of creation for the satisfaction of Vishnu. He supplied principles of yajna, or sacrifice, yajnartat karmano nyatra. With this facility, there is a process of sacrifice, and you use this in the process of sacrifice in two things. Your necessities will be supplied, and ultimately, however gradually, you'll come to the stage of returning to the spiritual world. So two, satisfying needs, liberation. Follow the user's manual, and if you're following the process of sacrifice, if you're performing your duties in a prescribed and religious way, and bountiful reciprocation with earth comes, the fruits of your pious activity is producing lots and lots of facility. Nartasya dharma kantasya. It never should be used in sense gratification. It should be used, again used in service to the Lord. So it's like one of those double lock. Locking here, locking here, locking here, locking there. It's tight. This is what we should do. And when we do what we should do, it shouldn't be done for the purpose of sense gratification. Dharma should not be for the purpose of sense gratification. And if facility for sense gratification comes because you perform your dharma, it should never be deployed in sense gratification. Should be used only in Krishna's service. One of the ways that Prabhupada expresses this, another way that Prabhupada expresses this, is that there are necessities of life. And the animal propensities, they're necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So Prabhupada would say, we don't say don't eat, or don't sleep, or don't mate, or don't defend. But each of these things are to be used only in the prescribed manner and only in Krishna's service. So when used only in Krishna's service, here's the sentence that says it here. This dridha vrata, great vow. So the vow should be taken that to satisfy the senses or enjoy material life should be done only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, which sounds like it was a little tricky. Let's do that again. They should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Sounds like I scratch your back and you scratch my back. I'll satisfy you, and by so doing, you're going to satisfy me, right? So that's not how it's intended. Although, many people take it that way. I'll be religious, knowing that by being religious, I will prosper. And in that prosperity, I will enjoy, and that will inspire me to be more religious, so that I can prosper more, and so that I can enjoy more, which will inspire me to be more religious, and gradually work my way up the ladder. There are religions that explicitly express like that. And the Bhagavatam explicitly expresses otherwise. So that's not what's being advocated here. The ascending enjoyment platform through religious performance. But rather, when the senses are engaged, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhaktir Uchite. You know that verse? Raktak, you know that verse? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. You were saying it as I was saying it. Say it back. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Bhaktir Uchite. So what does Rishikesh mean? It's the name of Krishna, right? Rishikesh. What does Rishikesh mean? Master of the senses. Rishikesh. Om, it's like our Tilak mantras. Om Keshavaya Namaha. One of them is Rishikeshaya Namaha. Right? Master of the senses. And one who uses the senses, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, use the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Bhaktir, Uchite. Uchite means it is said. It is said that bhakti is engaging the senses in the master's service, the master of the senses' service, or in service of the master of the senses. That's bhakti. So when we're, it's our necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, our necessities of grains and seeds and things are supplied by Mother Earth when she sees that we're engaging in service of the master of the senses. Our necessities are supplied. So the senses are satisfied. And we don't say don't eat, but take only Krishna prasad. So our senses are satisfied. We don't say don't sleep, but don't sleep more than necessary. Sleep for the purpose of restoring, rejuvenating the body so that I can carry on my service nicely and not fall asleep in Bhagavatam class on Monday morning and get sufficient rest so that I can be alert and chant my rounds nicely and so on. The first service to Krishna. And in service to Krishna, one's own necessities, one's own sense requirements are satisfied in service to Krishna only. And that means not otherwise. Like the tortoise that can extend his limbs or withdraw his limbs. So when there's service, there's limbs are extended and there's nothing in relation to service, or it's not something that's inappropriate for the pleasure of Krishna activity, senses are withdrawn. Just that simple. That's the control valve. Service to Krishna. And when it's service to Krishna, necessities are supplied. The satisfaction, now I'll read it again. Dhritavrata means that they should take a vow to satisfy their senses or enjoy material life only by satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. Nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. It's a wonderful, it's expressed so concisely, it's in itself beautiful. But the message is so important for transcendental life, because the tendency for enjoyment is overwhelming. We're in the material world because of the tendency for enjoyment, independently of Krishna. And it's natural on the platform of the soul to want to be happy, but it's misplaced. It's not on the platform of Krishna's happiness, it's on the platform. So the tendency, even in spiritual life or religious life, to engage in religious activity and then have this expectation, I'm going to enjoy. And I hear it all the time. Something goes wrong and people say, you know, why is Krishna doing this? I'm supposed to enjoy. It's you know, he broke the contract. We had a contract. The contract said, I serve you and you give me sense gratification. And I enjoy sense gratification. It's been a good contract. But now he's breaking the contract. What's going on? Why is God doing this to me? To help us understand that that's not what the relationship is, where he supplies. We give our requisition slip and he supplies from his warehouse. And that's not what the relationship is. And one who has that mentality, he may be trying to help us understand that's not what the relationship is. Also in the purport, Prabhupada is discussing the asad bihi. In one word, it's now, he's expanding it into four words from Bhagavad Gita. There's sat and asat. There's eternal and the temporary. And those that are committed to the temporary or are materialistic or who have forgotten the position of Vishnu, Krishna, then that's asadbi, the non-devotees, those that they're not in touch with sat. They're not interested in sat. They're interested in the temporary. So such persons are described as duskriti. So kriti means merit. They may even, a duskriti or a non-devotee may do good deeds, acts of that are intended at least to be beneficial for others. But their purpose is to gain some kriti, some merit, and then use that merit for sense gratification. And it's not necessarily like mean-spirited, it's just like the default position, because if the purpose of satisfying Vishnu or Rishikesh is lost, then the senses come in contact with the object, the fruits of piety, because of some good deed, and they're implicated in sense gratification. And then that becomes the culture, and that's the duskriti culture, as opposed to the sukriti culture. The purpose of a sukriti person is simply satisfying the personality of Godhead, and whatever comes, and if prosperity comes, then it's dedicated further to the service of the personality of Godhead. And if there is some diminished situation for some time, that's fine. Let me serve the Lord in that position. That's fine. I wish I had more to offer to the Lord, but whatever is His desire. And then what is peaceful and happy? Mudha, another condition where persons, the ass is the character of mudhaism, and the ass characteristically, we don't see so much here in America because we have cars that serve that purpose or trucks and things, but the ass carries a load, and the ass is thinking, if I don't carry this load, how will I eat? Because my master, after carrying some load, he gives me some grass. Prabhupada's comment is, on the left side of the road there's grass, on the right side of the road there's grass, and they think they have to carry this big load to get grass. And if I don't carry a big load, then how will I be happy and how will I survive? So those that work hard like an ass just works hard and works hard and works hard and works hard and works hard. And that's like, you know, that's the ethic of being happy, is without necessarily any purpose. Devotees also work very hard. I once heard Prabhupada say, if I can say one thing about myself, it's that I was never lazy. Throughout my whole life, I was never lazy. I was always engaged in something, purposeful, never lazy. So we're not advocating lazyism, but we're also not advocating mudhaism. We're active for a purpose, serving Krishna. But the mudha is for sense gratification, working very hard. And when we ask such a person, can you come to the temple? I don't have time. I have so much work to do. Please read this book. No, I don't have time. And it's true, they don't have time because they're too busy carrying their loads. Dhenuka. We need Balaram for Dhenuka, spiritual strength. Naradhama, lowest of mankind. The lowest of mankind is those that are atheistic, those that don't see the higher value of life, and they just engage in the activities of practically the same thing as an animal, Naradama. And Mayaya Paritagyana, one of Prabhupada's favorite punching bags, was the educated person's M.A. Ph.D., Prabhupada would say. And they think that they're very learned, but they don't know what the purpose of life is. And he would sometimes quote Professor Katovsky, sometimes even using his name, but say, even great professors, so-called scholars in the topmost universities, when you ask them, what is the goal of life? They don't know. They'll say, Swamiji, after this life is finished, everything is finished. They don't even know the first thing, who they are. And they're learned scholar, philosopher, Mayaya Pratikyana. They have a capacity, but it's misplaced. And when it's misplaced, everything of value that can come from that capacity is taken. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion. And such blind intellectuals lead the rest of the world. The brahmanas, those that have that capacity to see, to discern truth, the rest of the world is dependent upon them. And if those capacity persons are blind and are misleading, big problem. People follow and fall in the ditch along with them. And to address the leaders or address the followers and say, excuse me, but you're headed for the ditch, they get disturbed. What do you, leave us alone. We're doing just fine. Who are you? Get out of here. But you're headed for the ditch. Get out of here. They fall in the ditch. It's sad. It's messy in the ditch. Mayaya Pratigyana. From this asadvi. So this is what Mother Earth is saying to Prithu. There's all these asadvi people, and they're taking those things that are for the purpose of yajna, for satisfying Vishnu, and they're exploiting them for sense gratification. So I'm not giving them all this opportunity to drag themselves down to hell. And the concluding part is, of the purport, is that Prabhupada is saying, as that continues, he says it twice for emphasis sake, as that tendency continues, the restriction becomes less, or the restriction becomes more, the supply becomes less and less and less and less, until there's none of these things that Prithu Maharaj wants the earth to supply. She doesn't supply at all, because there's no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there's no rain. Without rain, there's no grain. Even there may be seeds, there's no grain. And without grain, what are people going to eat? They eat each other. Not nice. Don't hang around. Don't wait. Oh, well, they'll chant Hare Krishna several lifetimes and enjoy kirtan, and I'll take my time. I want to be. One lecture that I used to listen to like every day before going into the airport to distribute books was sit in the parking lot after reaching the airport and hear this lecture where Prabhupada was saying about if we don't complete our business in this lifetime, we'll get an opportunity, whatever asset you do engage in devotional service, it's permanent. And then he explained, but if you do take another birth after this one and you do continue in your devotional service, please understand that it's going to be Kali Yuga will have advanced and it will be more difficult. If it's difficult now, it's going to be more difficult. And I just switch the tape player off and go in the airport and say, like, let me finish my business now and help these people that don't have a clue. At least, you know, read Prabhupada's books, please. and understand the necessity of paying attention now to the mission of life. By negligence or complacency, what to speak of going in the opposite direction, even if we're just like sloppy and lazy and complacent, it's not going to take us to the destination we want, and the circumstance doesn't get better. External. But we need to take shelter of the process of devotional service carefully. Okay, so I'll end there. See if there's any comments or questions. Jaya Jagannath.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. On that last point, keeping our eyes fixed on the purpose of life, oftentimes, as practicing devotees, especially, we find ourselves confronted by the waves of duality, which often obscure our vision of life's goal. And when the waves of duality hit, it's like life doesn't even have a goal, and we just get sucked in by that.
Whatever the temporary thing that's going on.
So what is the... I want to say how to get the strength of intelligence to remain sober.
Krishna. Dadami buddhi yogantam. So that's the... Tesham satata yuktanam. Says... You know, that Krishna is willing to give, but we have to be, fit. We have to have our receivers on. We have to be fit to receive what Krishna is willing to give. And so we have to. That's our qualification, our adhikar. And to do that on our own, we're quite unsteady. Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes not. So we need a little extra. We need mercy from those that are helping us on the path of devotional service. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of intelligence. Recognizing what our position is. Our position is very tiny, very fragile. We need the mercy of qualified devotees to help us. And those that make very nice advancement, those most advanced devotees, they're always thinking like that. They're always thinking like that. I've been making this presentation in colleges about compassion. Then I have a separate one presentation for devotees about compassion. I mean, they both end up in the same place, but the language is different to get there. And one of the quotes in the beginning is, forget the title of the book, by Raghunath Das Goswami. Kusuma Vilapsati or something like that. He's appreciating Sanatan Goswami being compassionate upon him. He said, it's just by his compassion. He forced me to drink the nectar of devotional service in the mood of renunciation. But although I was completely unwilling, he forced me. And therefore, I take the dust of his lotus feet. Because of that compassion he showed upon me. I mean, Raghunath Das Goswami wasn't forced to do, forced devotees to do anything. He had that spirit already, even from his childhood. But he's looking to Sanatana Goswami as one who particularly through his association inspired him in that kind of renunciation. The degree of renunciation. He's seeing the strength for doing what he did came from Sanatana Goswami. And similarly, he sees, Raghunath sees the same way towards Rupa Goswami. I mean, birth after birth, just let my sustenance be the dust from his lotus feet. of Rupa Goswami. So we can see in so many other examples, but we can see from advanced devotees what we need to do to like get out of our unsteady position. Sometimes, sometimes not, sometimes not. We need descending mercy from those who are very compassionate and willing to extend that to us, they themselves having received mercy and compassion of other Vaishnavas, and they're willing to share that. To get out of to help us, our own determination, our own vow must also be there, but even so, it still there's this unsteadiness. Just that's part of the stage of progress. Descending mercy is necessary. An intelligent person understands that. It's not demeaning, it's intelligent. Anything else? Yes, Drutakaran Prabhu.
You were mentioning in the beginning that one shouldn't be performing devotional service with the idea of getting some material reward or gratification.
Yeah.
But then there's the verse, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaridi tirena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha puman. How would that apply?
Exercising me, he knows the answer.
No, I don't ask.
Yes,
I don't ask official questions. I ask because I'm genuinely puzzled.
Okay. This is preferred. However, from any position, engage in devotional service. And engage in devotional service with dridhavrata, great determination. So supposing somebody hears, you know, become free from material motivation. Oh, I guess I'm not qualified. I can't engage in devotional service because I definitely have material motivation. And I know it says that I should become free from material motivation, but I can't see it happening. So I guess I just toss in the towel. Call it quits and, you know, go home. Just like turn on the TV and, you know, like zone out or something. But no. Sarvakama and mokshakama, along with akama. Tivrena, because if there is that, like Dhruva Maharaj, he was maha sarvakama, he, you know, big time. He didn't want, like, I want a girlfriend, or I want some money, or, you know, I want some ice cream, or I want a car, or, you know, I want, you know, something. He wanted, you know, rule a planet that's beyond Lord Brahma's planet. That, you know, sarvakama. Tivrena. So, and mokshakama. Okay, fine. I mean, that's not, we shouldn't engage in devotional service so we can get liberation. But if that's your desire, you want liberation, take up devotional service. Take shelter of Krishna with great determination, and that impurity will be dismissed. But now we'll go back. While you're engaging in those sarvakama bhakti or mokshakama bhakti, you're hearing this other message, actually. The state that we should come to is this other one. And one achieves that, the full opportunity of devotional service will come to that stage. But in the beginning, one may not be able to hear it. Just like Dhruva said to Narada, I'm sorry. I know that your instructions are good. They don't enter. They don't go in my heart. Okay, sarvakama. Tivra Bhakti. Okay, I can get on that program. And become purified by Narada Muni's mercy in the process of devotional service. It's okay? Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Vilani.